For we know the sanctification process of working in the nursery, don't we? We love our children. Thank you, Lord, for them, for bringing us closer to Christ every day with them. It's a good morning so far, hasn't it been? We just thank the Lord for the encouragement that he gives us each time we gather to do this. He does each day, but just the worship of his saints, lifting up their voices to him and focusing on him. Now we're going to be listening to his word. So good morning. Before I have you turn to our text for this morning, I want to ask you about how God's encouragement from our text last week went for you. Pastor Craig encouraged you a little bit, but I want to ask you how it went. We were encouraged in some way to show sincere affection and kindness to those who have served us, who have helped us to live for the Lord. That was the general idea about it. To those who are fellow workers in Christ with you, or to the ones who have witnessed them work hard in the Lord, how you appreciate them and their diligence to persevere and keep fighting for the Lord to have reign in their heart and mind. Or to those who have carried the cross of Christ into your homes, or to those who have responded to your teaching about Christ in your home. Or some way to show affection and kindness to those who have cautioned you from being going in the way of error, or to those who have journeyed closely with you and living for Christ, companions in your life. I want you to think about that. You don't have to share with us who it is or anything like that, how they have shown you in some tangible way your sincere affection and kindness. But I want to give an opportunity if anybody wanted to say anything. I'm not sure if anybody will. But how'd that go for us last week as we were encouraged through the Word of God to do that in our life, to write a note, to say something of encouragement, to share an affection? I got a couple of extra hugs that Sunday afternoon after service, that kind of thing. I got a couple of phone calls and a note written to me, and I wrote some. And how'd that go for you? Anybody want to just say, was that a blessing to you? Raise your hand if you wrote somebody a note. Raise your hand if you received a note. You know, just want to encourage you that, you know, through the Word of God, each time we look at the truth of God's Word and what God is saying, there's an important aspect when we study the Word of God, is that when we look at it, study it, listen to it, we're reading it for and learning it for transformation. That's the Word of God. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them in thy truth, John 17:17. He said, your word is truth. So God's going to change our life, grows us, mature us. There's always an action in every text. There's always a change in every text. There's always some belief in every text. And when we study the Word of God and look at the Word of God, whether it's in a Bible study or whether it's in a marriage class or whether you're reading it on your own, you're reading it for God to work in your life. What's there to believe? What's there to act upon? What change needs to take place in my life? That's the life of Christianity. So we continually get encouraged in that, and I know that you've been blessed with that as we've been going through Romans. But remember what Peter said in our salvation. We have been given from God a sincere love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. So fervently love one another from the heart. That's the way of God for us. So let's open our Bibles to Romans 16 as we finish up the book of Romans. I'm kind of sad. Can I go back and just do chapter 6 again and chapter 7 and all of that kind of stuff? Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 16. As we look at the final verses of our study of Romans, it's been a great study and wonderful things in there. Go ahead and take your outline for a message or for a teaching from God's Word that I've entitled The Hope of All Hope. Good message for us today. Always a good message for us, but really pierce our heart with this truth, Lord. It's the hope that we need. In Paul's concluding words of this amazing letter, he gives us what's called a doxology. So are you there? Are you in Romans 16? Open up your Word of God to that. You got your outline out. Take some notes. Look at some of the things that are in there. But like I said, in this amazing letter, Paul gives us what is called a doxology. Sometimes in Scripture, mostly toward the end of a book, there is a benediction, which is a short utterance of blessing and guidance. Those are in there. Verse 24 actually is one, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's kind of a benediction. But then in some other books, the writers of Scripture, other times there's a doxology. It's a short hymn, a song of praise to God's truths. Keep that in your mind. The reason why doxologies are written is because the writer is sort of overwhelmed by God's truth that they just communicated, that they break out into an inspired praise to God's goodness and grace. The Apostle Paul ends Romans with a doxology, praising God for what God has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be the focus of what Paul just wrote about in Romans. Let me say that again, set that in your heart. The Apostle Paul ends Romans with a doxology, praising God for what God has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be the focus of what Paul just wrote about in Romans. The depth of salvation found in Jesus Christ. The truth of Christ's saving work that God did. And that's why I named it the hope of all hope. So look with me at Paul's final words in verses 25 through 27, where Paul said, look at it with me, he said this, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations," that's tiethne in the original language, that's people groups, "leading to obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen." Fantastic doxology. As we begin to look at this, I don't want you to recall what Paul said in Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles there, because we're going to do some review of Romans. We're going to bounce around a little bit here, but there's going to be a lot of scriptures I read that you're not going to have time to turn to. We're going to be full of God's Word this morning, but if you look back with me, where God's Word began to teach us about salvation, the Apostle Paul wrote this in chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Listen to what the Apostle said. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says this, "As it is written," what God's Word says, it's written, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There are none who seek God. They all have turned aside together and have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one." What that says is that man, that all humanity, has no righteousness of their own. No one does. No one has a righteousness of their own. They have no hope to be accepted by God by their own righteousness. And that's what Paul is talking about when he starts teaching about salvation. And in verses 19 through 20, Paul said this, in all of humanity's efforts to keep God's law, to honor God's way, they can't do it, so that no one will be justified in God's sight, for humanity cannot keep God's law. So humanity has no hope, because no one can keep the law of God, no one can be justified, declared innocent before God. So no one has a righteousness of their own for God to accept them into the kingdom of God. You're not righteous. We sin where we have unrighteousness. And it's not a little bit of righteousness you need to get into the kingdom of God. It's the complete righteousness of God. And nobody can keep the law of God. No one's going to be justified before God. Nobody's going to stand innocent before God because that they tried to keep in their own effort God's law, God's ways, God's truth. He said no one will be. But for the hope of these final truths that the Apostle Paul presents. Truths he taught through Romans. So let me just urge you to listen to this clearly, to what God is saying. I want to encourage you, prompt you, goose you, whatever that might be, right? To listen to what the Word of God is saying in this text, because of all that is here, I will have to kind of move quickly through some things, and I'll read a lot of scriptures. But let me just urge you to listen clearly to what God is saying, for this is the answer for our world. This is the answer to every broken heart. This is the answer to every rebellious heart, every deceived heart, to every lost and confused heart, and the answer to mine and your heart also. This is God's truth. This is the answer to the hope that we need each and every day, the hope that's an anchor for the soul, the hope that God has presented to us through the truth of the gospel, the truth of preaching of Christ, the truth of God, of God's truth revealed. It's the hope of all hope. In our first observation of the text, we see, look at what it says. We see God's word says, back to chapter 16 with me, look at verse 25. "That is now to him," that's God, "who is able to establish you." God is able to establish you, verse 25. Some translations say strengthen there. It's not a good translation of the word sterizo in the Greek. That word means in the Greek to set fast, to fix firmly. Paul is referring to God's ability, according to the gospel, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to God's truth revealed. He is able to set firm, to set fast, to fix firmly you in God's rescue. He is able to set fast, to fix firmly you in God's redemption. He's able to fix you firmly in your salvation, you in your new way of life, you in God's forgiveness, you in God's grace, you in God's glory, however you want to see that. All of what God is going to do in this world to reconcile sinners back to himself, redeem them, save them, all of that. God is able to establish you, fix you firmly. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the Word of God is saying. To everybody that will listen, to everybody that will hear, Romans 14, 14 says this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. He will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." The Lord is able to make you stand, and you will stand. That's the idea of establish. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. Listen to what he wrote. May our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish, to set firm, to fixly firm your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. God will confirm you to the end blameless before himself. Paul wrote in 1 Peter 5:10, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you in your life. He is setting firm your faith and ability to follow Christ." Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:12, "I am always ready to remind you of these truths that I just talked to you about, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present within you." God is able to set firmly his truth of Jesus Christ in your heart and mind. In chapter 3, verse 17, Paul calls it a steadfastness in the truth. Listen to what Jude wrote in the end of Jude 24 and 25. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God and Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." God is able to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. God is able to establish you. 1 Thessalonians, listen to this, chapter 5, one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. God's word says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass." What Paul is saying in the doxology, what he's wrapping up Romans 6, or the whole book of Romans is God is able through his saving work in your life to set you firmly in the sanctification journey of your life, to set fast your steadfastness in his truth, to set firm your faith and ability to follow Christ, to make you stand preserved completely at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will confirm you to the end blameless before him. God is able to establish any man, any person, know how wretched or bad or worthless that they are. For all or no one has their righteousness of their own. No one will be justified before God by keeping the law. But God is able to establish. Now, is that hope? That's the hope that Paul is referring to, that he just taught on. This is about what God can do, not what man does. This is about what God is doing, not about what man is doing. God is able to establish anyone, to set firmly his salvation in his life for them to live. This is the distinctiveness of this truth, that the God of the Bible is able to establish you, to set fast salvation and all that it contains. What a hope for humanity. What a hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul explains, or better states, it's according to the gospel. Let's continue on. Let's listen to the word of God and what Paul is wrapping up here and be amazed in the truth that he puts in these three verses in the words that the Holy Spirit inspired him to use. First, that established. Listen to what he says. in verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. According, the word kata in the Greek means down from. Here, down from God through the gospel. Down from God through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is able to establish you through the work of Christ. That's what he's saying, down from the gospel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he said in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, listen to what he said. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. For it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are set firm through the gospel down from God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the Lord returns. God is able. God is able to protect, guard, keep what Paul entrusted to him. Paul entrusted his whole life, his surrendered life to Christ, his eternity. That protecting, that keeping, that guarding came through the work of Christ. Now the Apostle Paul taught in Romans how God establishes you according to the gospel. We're going to look at it briefly. So open your Bibles back to Romans chapter 3. And as I was going through here and seeing what Paul was referring to and then looking at all that the apostle had Paul had taught about the work of the gospel, the work of God through the gospel, I want you to learn what God's word says here about the gospel. I want you to know the hope that you have. If you haven't trusted Christ and you're here today, there's all this hope that's going to be presented before you, that it's the hope of the forgiveness that comes through Christ. And if you're here and you're a believer today and God has established you, the hope that he can redirect, guide, lead, move, do all the things necessary in your life to bring you to the places God has for you, to rescue from the things that have hindered you, for God can do all things through the gospel. Romans 3, 10 through 12, we looked at it earlier, and it says, no one has a righteousness of their own. No one on their own can stand right before God. And in verses 19 through 20, we saw that no one, in their effort to keep God's word, to keep God's way, to keep God's law, will be justified, declared innocent before God. That's what God's word just said. Now look at verse 21 through 24. Paul wrote, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God justifies the sinner. He declares them innocent of sin, even though you sin and even though you're guilty of sin. He says he declares it as a gift of his grace through the redemption in Jesus Christ. Now look at chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Paul, writing about Abraham, says, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as favor, but what is due. So if you work for your salvation, you'll get credited for your work, and we just read that no one will be justified for any work that you do. No one can stand innocent before the Lord, no matter how well you do the work. You'll receive what's due you. The wrath of God. That's what Paul has taught. But to the one who does not work but believes in him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly in his faith is credited to his righteousness. Through faith in the gospel, faith in Christ, God justifies the ungodly, and no one is godly. And he credits them, imputes to them the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 23 through 25 of chapter 4. Paul writes, Now, not for the sake only was it written that it was credited to him, Abraham, but for our sakes also, to whom it will be credited. As those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who has delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. God establishes you, is you. God fixes firmly your justification, your right standing before God by imputing to you or crediting to you the righteousness of Christ down from the gospel. Now look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Stay with me here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. God set fast your peace with God. God set fast God's peace with you. God fixes firmly your standing in grace in the hope of God's glory. Now look at chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. For if we were enemies, while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received a reconciliation. God sets fast your reconciliation, your salvation through the work of the cross. This is incredible, isn't it? You didn't see anywhere in here, as long as you do this, and as long as you do that, and as long as you are this, and as long as you attend church, and as long as you read your Bible, and those are all byproducts of the new life that we have in Christ. But there is no work, there is no righteousness that we have. It's by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that God establishes you. He's not waiting for you to establish yourself. He's not waiting for you to get good enough. You'll never be. He's not any of that. He's calling you to the gospel. And if you're a believer in Christ and have already been established, you're not trying to establish that God is for you and like you and is with you and all those kind of things. God is. He's established. He set it firmly. We're going to read in the text as we go forward. It's about you trusting and believing and putting your faith in what God says, his word. It's all about trusting and believing and putting your faith. We're going to see that in the Lord. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. God set fast your newness of life for you to walk in. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. God set fast firmly your new life in Christ to seek to live for him. He freed you from sin slavery. He set firmly your old self from you. Verse 18 and 19, look at chapter 6 as we follow along here what the Apostle Paul's teaching about how God establishes you through the gospel. And having been freed, verse 18, from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. God set firmly your new life to seek to live righteously. You're a slave to it in your new life. God set firmly your life of sanctification, of you becoming more and more Christ-like. He set it firm. It's not wishy-washy. It's whether you walk by faith. It's whether you, as we'll look at later, have the obedience of faith. It's not that it's not there, that it's not firm, that it's not set, that it's not established. God did it. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Look at what the Apostle Paul keeps teaching. This is a good verse just to read there today. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want me to stumble. He doesn't want me to sin. He doesn't want me to miss the mark. He doesn't want me to be offensive. He doesn't want me to be a hypocrite. He doesn't want any of those things in my life. But it says right here that if I struggle with those things and they come out of my life and they're here, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Because you know why? God set firmly your forgiveness. He cannot not forgive you. In his relationship with you, because he loves you like as a son, he may correct, he may do these things in your life, but there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 through 4, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God set fast your freedom from the law of sin and death, and he firmly set you on a path of walking according to the Holy Spirit, leading according to God's word. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. God set fast the Holy Spirit in you. He gave you new life. He set fast God's life in your mortal body. Look at verse 14 and 15. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. God firmly set that you are a child of God with a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Verse 31 through 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? God said firmly that it will always be for you and give you what you need. Look at verse 37 through 39. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God set firmly his love on you, his love to you, that nothing that exists can separate you from the love he has for you. I think it's time to write a doxology, don't you? Don't you think it's time to write a song of praise for God's truths? These are all the truths of God establishing you. These are the truths you stand on, the hope that you have in this life, the hope that is all of our life. This is what God did in establishing you through the gospel. This is what he did. You didn't do it. He did it. This is what God does. This is the hope from all hope. This is telling somebody that doesn't have any hope, that doesn't have anything established in their life but sin and sin's deception and sin's gratification. That's the unsaved, right? And even as a believer, sometimes that's all we get focused on is sin's gratification, you know, ourself, our own. And wait a minute. God can establish you through the gospel, down from God's work, through the death and resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. God is able to do that, isn't he? What a life we have. What an incredible life we have. And it's a mercy. I have no righteousness of my own, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't be justified before God. And he said, believe in my son, and I'll declare you innocent before me. I'll justify you in the courtroom of God. I'll impute and credit to you Christ's righteousness on your behalf. You'll stand holy and blameless before me, regardless of what you've done. Because it's not about you, it's about Christ. It's about me. And about me reconciling my creation back to me. Now him too who is able, right? Paul also said God is able to establish you according to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Back to chapter 16, look at it with me. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Down from God, he establishes you by the preaching of Christ and his truth. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews that think they're righteous, a stumbling block. To the Gentiles that have no righteousness, they're slaves to sin, so are the Jews, but the Jews thought they were righteous. It's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, we don't preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, for we are his bondservants. It's about Christ being Lord. It's about what we share about the truth of Christ. Christ is Lord and Savior. That's why the attack in the world and the evangelical church that God, Christ doesn't have to be Lord. You can make him Lord. Christ is Lord. Lord today, been Lord from the beginning of time. Christ is the Lord and always is. And coming to faith in Christ is trusting and believing and putting your faith that he's Lord, authority of my life, authority of all, holds it all together, is God's authority. Everything is under his feet. That's the gospel. The gospel doesn't come so you get rescued from hell into heaven. Yes, that's part of it. Yes, he is a savior. Yes, he saves us from a sin, but he is Lord, Lord of all. He's the Lord of everything that comes to him and believes and trusts in him. Turn your Bibles to Romans 10. Remember what Paul taught us. Romans 10, verse 8. We'll begin there. Look at it with me. Remember what he said, what he taught, but what does it say? What does God's word say? What does the word of God say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That's the word of the gospel, the word of Christ Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in the riches for all who call upon him. Forever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen, right? God is able to establish you through the proclamation of that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, raised from the dead by God to give new life. Jesus is Lord of all. God establishes you in salvation through the truth of Christ. He establishes you, sets you firmly in the life you now have with Christ as Lord. That's the life of God for you. God doesn't establish you in the life that Christ isn't Lord. That's not what he gives. That's a lie of the Satan. That's a lie and deception of sin. God established you in this life, with this new life, that Jesus is Lord, authority, the one I worship, the one I serve, the one I come to in my life as master, as bondslave. That's the word of God. That's the gospel that rescues, that establishes you, that sets you firm in all things. God establishes you, set you firmly, that you now live a life with Jesus as your Lord. You're to love like him, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. You're to forgive like him, Colossians 3, 13. You're to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The words of God speaking about Christ in your new life in Christ, speaking on the Christ way of you or speaking about his truth is to richly dwell within you. Look at your Bibles in Romans 8, 29. It's something that Paul said that's very simple, that if you capture what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, 29, he said this, for those whom he foreknew, God knew. This is about what God knows, not about what we know. It's what he knows in his heart and mind that he's going to do. He also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. This is what God's word says. Those who God foreknew, he also predetermined to become conformed to the image of his son. Down from the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, God establishes you in your salvation and set firmly in you his work of you becoming more and more like Christ. He set fast Christ as Lord. That's hope. He's going to change me. He's going to make me more like him. He's going to work in my life with that attitude and that action and these things that are in my life. Who in this room wants all of those sinful actions to be leading in their life? Please stand up and give us a testimony. But we fight for them. We try to defend them. We try to justify them before God, and God says all of those things are what is destroying your life and your heart and mind and not knowing what God is. Just trust and believe in me because I am Lord, and I'm going to make you like me. That's the word of God. That's the gospel. That's the preaching of Christ. Down from God. One more. Isn't this good? You can see why I got to hurry. There's so much here. I don't know if it's me because I'm getting excited, but is it warm in here? Danny, you might turn on a blower for me back there. One more. God is able to establish you according to the God's truth revealed. Look again at verse 16. Or chapter 16. Look at verse 25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, the revealing of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, all the Thai ethne, all the people groups. What was hidden before Christ came? Three main things. Let me just give them to you. What was hidden was the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. That was hidden. They didn't know, even though Isaiah 53 is written in that. It was hidden. It was a mystery revealed. It's part of the mystery revealed, a mystery, something God had not revealed yet, that he was going to die for our sins. He was going to raise for our new life in him. Another main point of the mystery revealed was God's salvation for the Gentiles. Read Ephesians 2. And 3. God's salvation for the non-Jews. That's me and you. I'm glad that was there and he revealed it in Jesus Christ, aren't you? That's a mystery that was revealed. God was going to call us into himself, pierce our heart with the truth of the gospel. We were going to believe. We were going to be in the eternal kingdom with him forever and ever, ever and ever. Here's another one of the main part of what God has revealed. Listen to God's truth revealed that was hidden. Going to begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. No, I'm going to begin back in verse 24. I want you to hear the Apostle Paul a little bit about himself and when he gets to it. Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, wrote, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." That's Christ establishing you. You guys see that, right? God doing that. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Did you get that? Your life now became in Christ. And Christ's life is in you. That's the hope of glory, the sureness of our eternal glory. Your life now is in union with Christ, where he is in you and you are in him, and you will be one day sharing in his inheritance, fellow heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. That's what God's truth has revealed. According to that truth, he can establish you. Establish you as an inheritor of all that is inheritance of Christ and a fellow heir with Christ. Listen to Colossians 3, 3 and 4. "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." You're going to share in the glory of Christ. Ephesians 1, 9 says, "God made known to us the mystery of his will." God's will is for you to be with him in eternity, united with Christ in the journey there to become sharers in the glory of Christ. Ephesians 3, 6, Paul said it this way, to be specific, let me keep it simple for you, you Gentiles, you are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body of Christ, fellow partakers of the promises in Christ through God's work of the gospel. What a song to sing. The hope of all hope. But look at the end of your text. Turn your Bibles back to Romans 16. Look at it, what it says at the end of chapter, verse 26. Look what it says. It says this, leading to the obedience of faith. There's the hope for our world today. It's always been the hope. It's always been the same. It's there, obedience of faith. The hope of every broken person. The hope for all lost people in which sin is devastating their soul. Obedience of faith. For God is able to establish them. This is our hope. This is the hope for the ones that have been established, the ones that God has set fast in the mercy and grace of God, obedience of faith. I don't have time. There's so much here, but you read Hebrews 11. It's all about obedience of faith. It's all about obedience of faith. God established them in a relationship with him, redeemed them, made them righteous, imputed righteousness, even to the Old Testament saints, even though, look at Abraham. We talked about it today. Read about him. About his obedience of faith. I went this way. I went that way. I just did what God wanted me to do. I just went here. It's about obedience of faith. And the gospel is here, the preaching of Christ is here, what God has revealed, the mystery that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that your life becomes in union with the Son of God, okay, right, till you get to be glorified with him and have the inheritance that he has in the eternal kingdom, heirs with Christ. That's the gospel, that's the truth, that's the reality that we live in, that's what it is, that's what we preach, that's what we say, that's what we teach. Are we living it according to the obedience of faith? That's the hope. There is no hope in it going my way. There is no hope in me seeking my own journey. There is no hope in me making my decisions based upon what I think would be best for what would make me happy. That's not how God established me. He established me that all that is mine, you can't take it away, and the life of it is based upon my obedience of faith on how it works out in my life. And me journeying with Christ in me, the hope of glory, in my life in union with Christ. Where I go, he goes, right? Read 1 Corinthians 6, right? If you join with the harlot, you're joining Christ for the harlot. That's what he says. What in the world are you doing? This life, this journey that we're passing through with all the set firmly that God has promised, he set firmly Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he said, by obedience of faith, walk with the Lord. Whatever the life outcome is, this is God's best life for you. Don't be deceived. It's nowhere else. It is nowhere else. It doesn't say it's anywhere else in the Bible. Romans, the whole book of Bible, Romans didn't say it was anywhere else. Deal with your heart and mind. Deal with your thoughts. Deal with all of that. And if you haven't been saved, you haven't come to the Lord, you have no part of this life. And I want to appeal to you today to put your faith in Christ. Because none of this is yours, and you can try all you want. But don't let the enemy deceive you. It's based upon obedience of faith. Final point, look at verse 27. To the only wise God through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. God's wisdom pours through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that says. His wisdom on how to reconcile, to redeem, to save a creation that rebels against him, that sins against him, that has no righteousness of its own, that cannot do anything about it on their own or collectively together. His wisdom in Jesus allows him to establish you. Man can't establish themselves. In his wisdom, how do you do this? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? Reconcile, redeem, save a creation that in everything they do rebel against us, sin against us. They have no righteousness of their own. And they can't do anything about it. He did it. He and he alone. To him be the glory forever, right? To him. Romans 11, 33-36. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and infallible his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that he might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. It's time for a song. One more verse. Can you handle one more verse? I only gave you a few today. They're in your outline, by the way. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he made us to be a kingdom, priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Church, I'm speaking to those who have trusted, believed, and surrendered their life to Christ as Lord and Savior. We live in this hope, no matter the consequences, no matter the circumstances of life. We live fixed in this hope, no matter what happens in this world. We seek obedience of faith because the hope that we have been given, Our world, our country, our community desperately needs to hear about this hope. As Paul said, salvation is nearer to us than we when we believed. God in his word asks us, commands us, and summons us from our new life in Christ that he set fast in us in obedience to the faith to tell others about this hope. If you would not write a note or communicate to somebody in your life that loves you, that cares for you, and share affection with them because you're too busy, you got too many things to do, you couldn't think about it, I forgot about it, that kind of thing, what's going to encourage you to respond to the love of God found through Jesus Christ, to reflect his love in this world by telling each other about God is able to establish you through the gospel, through preaching of Christ, through the mystery revealed from heaven, down from God, that it's not based upon you, it's based upon who God is. It's just about obedience of faith. What a journey it's been through this book of Romans. I'll never be the same. As we close in prayer, I break my promise, one more verse. To begin our prayer, I want to read from Romans 15:13, and then let's pray. Paul writes, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Father, it seems too simple to just say thank you for the study of your word in Romans. It seems too flat, too Father, thank you for transforming our lives through your word. Thank you for your wisdom to write a book through a man like this that would minister to each part of our heart, that would show us clearly the depth of our salvation, that would encourage us to live strong and faithful and honorable in a world covered by so much brokenness. Father, we thank you for that you set out to do this work because your desire in creating us was for us to be with you. But you knew all about our rebellious hearts. You knew all about our sin against you. You knew it all. Romans 9 says, "What if God would be willing to demonstrate his power and wrath endured so we could be saved, so we could know the Lord, so we could be his eternally, life in union with Christ? What if God?" It's not a what if, it's just what God does. Peter writes, what's happening is God is just enduring, is persevering through a creation that is in enmity with him, that hates him, that despises him, that sins against him, that doesn't acknowledge him because of his work of salvation. One day that'll be over. One day that opportunity be gone. We thank you, Lord, for today's opportunity. We thank you for the life that we have that's been set fast by your work on what you did. Help us to be bold and confident to share with those in our life the truth of what we've covered through here, the truth of the gospel and the preaching of Christ and what God has done through Jesus Christ, came to dwell in our lives for our life to be in union with him all the way into eternal glory. We pray for those that Craig encouraged us to pray for that need salvation, that, Lord, you would use us to pierce their heart with the truth of the gospel, that you would do that, Lord, we ask in your name. And it's not about how good we share it or how articulate we are. Like anything else, Lord, it's about our effort. It's about our heart. That's what you recognize. So here we are. We say, use us, Lord. Send me, Lord. Send us. Help us to have all hope in the midst of everything going on. And help us, Lord, in our obedience of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.